Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for Easter, for the sadness and sorrow of Good Friday when we remember that it was necessary for you to send your Son to die for us on a cross so that we might have our sins forgiven, and the joy and the jubilation of Easter Sunday morning, when we remember the resurrection and the fact that the tomb could not hold him. Death was broken and shattered by his victory, and he now lives forever. We praise you, Lord, that as we come to you this morning, that you would bless us through your word, and that we might glorify Jesus by applying what we read and what we learn to our hearts and to our living. May we live to bring praise to him. Amen. So we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 15, and our verse today is verse 12. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Some of these verses are gloriously short, but incredibly concentrated, aren't they? They're a bit like that bottle of juice that you can buy from the supermarket. Originally, it was like a 5-to-1 ratio of water to juice in order to make it up and make it drinkable. But those super concentrated ones that you buy, they actually need far more water to far less juice. This is focused truth, and it needs unpacking. So we need to know, who is this mocker? And who is the wise? Where do we get our wisdom from? Let's look at that first. Where do we get pure wisdom from in the day in which we live? Well, there is only one source for unadulterated wisdom, and that is from God himself. Anything that comes through a human mind and a human mouth runs the risk of being spoiled in some way, because we are fallible and we are foolish. And we are fallen. So all of those things will affect how much truth there is in what we say. But when God speaks his truth, we can be sure that it is reliable. And so it is that we recognize that his word is authoritative. It's inspired. Every word of it is true. We understand it in context, sure. According to the type of literature it is, sure. We don't stretch it beyond its bounds. We understand it as God has caused it to be written, and we read it sensibly. But having said all of that, we believe that it is truth, and it is solid truth, and it is unopposable truth. So wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. But it is a measure of his grace that he mediates that wisdom through human beings. So it is that he gives to his church preachers and teachers who are equipped by the Spirit to speak from his word and apply his truth to our lives. Thus he brings before us things that we should know about, ways in which we ought to be instructed so that we can live lives that glorify him. And we have to test the truth that we hear by his word to make sure that it lines up, and the preacher hasn't made some mistake or hasn't gone off on some kind of fanciful flight in order to say what he wants to say rather than what God wants to say. But that having said, there are so many men that we have been gifted with through the ages who have faithfully brought this truth before us. We have books written by such as these, and they are able to instruct us and bring wisdom to us and into our lives. So we have wisdom, God's wisdom, solidly in his word, undeniably the truth that comes from his very mouth. And we have the mediation, the administration of that wisdom through those who speak to us, even those fellow Christians who may not be called to a speaking ministry, but God can bring his truth to us through them. And this is the value and the immense strength of fellowship, that when I am going through something where I need God to speak into my situation, he can bring someone to me, and by the Spirit in their hearts as well as in mine, he can speak to me and bring his truth to my ears. And it's a delight, isn't it, if you're a Christian, to search out that truth from God, that wisdom that comes from him, so that we can be instructed and we can grow in it. So here we have then the one side of the spectrum. Who then are these mockers? Well, let me read you something which is a very good definition and summary of who the mocker is. He's mentioned several times in Proverbs in various places. Chapter 9, for example, says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Here's the definition. Mockers are obnoxiously obstinate in their folly and unwilling to change. A mocker treats righteousness with ridicule and contempt. He is proud. He is a source of conflict, and he is unpopular. And because he is not open to correction, he is unable to learn and is thus condemned. He is suitable only as a negative example for the inexperienced. So this is the other end of the spectrum. Here is the man who just will not listen. And added to his folly in not being open to the truth, what he does is to pour scorn on those who say otherwise. He only wants to hear what pleases him. He only wants to listen to what he agrees with. So what happens when he is rebuked, when there is an effort to correct him? Well, he will resist it. In actual fact, he will avoid it. And this is what this verse is saying. So this hard heart, this incredibly anti-God type of lifestyle and attitude, makes a very great effort and takes pains to move himself out of the hearing of that which could put him on the right path. You may know people who to some degree are like this. They shut their ears when you talk to them about the truth of God. They close their minds to what Jesus came to do, and they don't want to hear about what God has to say. Indeed, it might be true in our world today that there are those who want to live proper lives, being good people, as it were, but nevertheless, they will have this attitude towards the things of God. And we might not, we might struggle to find it easy to condemn them as being bad people. They're living lives that are acceptable, friendly, convivial, encouraging, all of these things which we could say about them. But nevertheless, once you start talking to them about spiritual things, down go the shutters and they close their ears. So this is a scale. And that's why I've said that the wise is on one end of it. And this mocker is right at the other end. He is impervious to the truth. And the question is, where are you on this scale? Even as a Christian, I have to ask myself, is there anything of the mocker in me? What is my attitude when God's wisdom rebukes me? How do I accept rebuke? And I have to confess and admit, I am not good at this. When somebody rebukes you and what they're saying is correct, it's so easy to hear it as an attack and up go the defences. You might even get angry and cross because someone has dared to speak a word against you. But the wise love to be rebuked. Did you see that in that other verse that I mentioned? The wise are seeking ways to fine-tune their walk with God so that they will all the more show forth the fruit of the Spirit and glorify Jesus in the way that they're living. So here is God's challenge to me this morning. How much of the mocker, this refusal to accept rebuke as something that God is doing positively to encourage, to weed out all of those things that are going to destroy the fruitfulness of my life. I'm reminded of something that John says in his gospel in chapter 3, after that lovely interview with Nicodemus. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. When God shines his uncomfortable light on things in your life that you would rather not be exposed, how do you react? Let's pray. Our gracious God, help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold in dealing with our own sin. Help us not to shun your words or flee from your spirit when he searches us to the depths of our hearts. Help us to submit to him when he wants to transform our minds and the way we think about ourselves and everything else, so that we can grow to even more glorify Jesus and be like him. In his name we pray. Amen.